It's the 12th day of Christmas. Have you thought about how you'll accommodate a dozen drumming drummers? On this 12th night, all over Latin America, where I grew up, kids will leave out their shoes along with a container with some hay or grass for the camels, horses, and elephants that will deliver and accompany the night visitors, the kings, los reyes. Inside those waiting shoes will be letters, letters of wishes, often, yes, for tangible gifts, but also, too, the thoughts weighing on children's hearts in hopes that the next morning some of the desired gifts will be there and that those young people's yearnings and concerns will have secured some kind of a response. It's a custom that comes from the story in the Gospel of Matthew of the visit to the baby Jesus by magi, wise persons held by tradition to be kings. And this morning, the Feast of Epiphany, commemorating this visit, is celebrated in churches worldwide. Epiphany, from the Greek epiphaneia, for appearance or manifestation, refers not so much to the appearance of the magi, but of the manifestation to them of the kingliness of Jesus, a startling revelation that power and godliness wasn't located in emperors, as was held in the Roman culture of the time, but in the ordinary, in a baby, in a struggling new family, that access to the holy was available to every person, no matter their supposed place in the world, that individual initiative can effect great change. Epiphany is a time characterized by new beginnings, new realizations, new hope, new resolve. For many, however, this time of year brings only new enforced resolutions. And so rather than a seasonal continuation of joy and wonder and vitality, the new year can be a time of measuring up, dissatisfaction, along with an anxious sense that something must be done because we're too heavy, too lazy, too indulgent, because we're not successful enough, not attractive enough, not ambitious enough, not doing enough, because we're not smart enough, not loved enough, not good enough, not enough. What if, as we live into our monthly congregational theme of integrity, rather than resolving to add new regimens or programs to our lives, rather than putting prohibitions into place against certain foods or practices, we instead resolved to let things be, to concentrate on living faithfully into the realities of who we are, to embrace our true selves. The poet Maya Angelou defined an epiphany this way: it's the occurrence when the mind, the body, the heart, and the soul focus together and see an old thing in a new way. How about this for an epiphany? We can take a break from proving ourselves and from improving ourselves and spend more time being ourselves, living authentically as the one and only us. This past May, I attended a three-day seminar for first-year ministers at the UU Association headquarters in Boston. At the end of the session, in which we had striven to become vulnerable to one another in order to be a cohort of support for one another, we were asked to write a short letter to ourselves, with a word of targeted encouragement, something that arose from the spirit of exploration and introspection that our days together inculcated. We addressed the letters to ourselves and turned them in. The association vowed to mail them to us at some point. I hadn't thought at the time of the resemblance that this exercise has to the letters of hope written back and forth on the 12th night of Christmas. But today I do, because in the midst of sermon tweaking, I received my letter yesterday afternoon, like a message from the kings. I often hope that part of my ministry can lead by sharing my own process of living into the messages I deliver from the pulpit. I hope to inspire you to take up my sermonic lamps alongside me and to join me not only in the bright light of our joy and curiosity, but also in the shadows of our thwarted desires to feel wonder. That together we might love one another into a shared light of exploring and learning and being. So I share this letter not only as prayerful words of care for me, but I hope for all of us. Dear one, you are okay. You are more than okay. You are beautiful. Do less. Let things be. Only ensure that you have plenty of nourished self within which to live abundantly. This no one will do for you, because no one but you can. All will be well. You are enough. You are loved, maybe even by you. The letter was unsigned. Being enough doesn't mean that we've earned our way into sufficiency, that we're a finished product. It doesn't mean we're perfect, that we don't make mistakes, that we aren't flawed in many ways. Being enough means that no effort on our part is necessary for us to become more worthy, more true, because we are already those things. There is more to come for each of us, but those changes will help us not become someone else, but become more of who we are. And for me, at least, that knowledge is worth hearing in as many ways as are available, from as wide a swath of beloved life cohorts as possible. For the more each of us lives into our truths, the more vibrant this world becomes for all of us. On this day of Epiphany, I pray we not lose sight of the ways in which we are always magi to one another. We come bringing gifts every time we meet, the gifts of our unique and fully worthy selves in the service of that which is greater than the sum of all our parts. And that is the holy. And that is more than enough. Amen. As I invite you in.